May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners. Be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806, the first part.
Let us read together from the Word of God, Paul's epistle to the Romans, and reading together from chapter 5. Paul's epistle to the Romans, reading together from chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord take that reading and bless it to our souls, to the glory of his name. May he teach us how to pray. Merciful, kind and gracious Lord our God, we thank thee for the opportunity of being able to gather together around thy word in this midweek service. And we pray for thy special presence with us, Lord, that thou wilt show thyself in the midst of us according to thy gracious promise, that where the twos and the threes gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, may we feel thy presence, Lord, and may we feel it through our worship, through our prayers, through our praises, through the preaching of the word, Lord, oh, that it might be blessed to us through thy Holy Spirit, taking of the things of Jesus and showing them unto us. And we do believe, Lord, if thou hast been pleased that we should attend upon the worship of thy name this evening hour, then, Lord, if we have a desire for thy name, a love for thy word, and a hope in thy salvation, then, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless each one of us with a living portion for our souls. Oh, to do us good, Lord, to meet our needs in the gospel. We're all differing as we come before thee at this time, in our needs, in our concerns, in those things that trouble us and burden us and try us. Those things, Lord, in our lives, the circumstances that we meet with. O Lord, we do pray, come to each one of us this evening, our Lord, that thou art able, out of the fullness of thy grace, to meet each case and each need, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to hear and to receive the prayers, both in pulpit and in pew. And Lord, if thou wilt be pleased to hear the pew prayers, then, O Lord, we do pray this evening hour that thou wilt come to each and every one, Lord, each seeking soul, Lord, that has come with a matter before thee. And then, Lord, whatever the matter may be, but also the great need of salvation. For there isn't a greater matter than that, Lord, to the soul of a poor, needy sinner, a convinced and convicted sinner. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come in the love of the word, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to each case and each need as it may arise, and that it may be that divinely appointed time, that set time, to favour Zion. O Lord, come in thy almighty grace, then, we pray thee this evening hour. Cause our souls to live, to have life, and to have it more abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray, Lord, that we may be blessed with a living portion, thy word to do us good, thy word, Lord, to convince and convict us of our sins. Oh, that will that will be the blessing, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to appear, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come. Maybe, Lord, to begin that new work of grace in the soul, he that hath begun a good work in you. Oh, what a mercy it is to be a seeking sinner. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, Lord, there are many things that are important for us in our lives here below, but there is nothing more important, Lord, to know thee, and that in thy righteousness and accepted before thee in and through the person, the perfect obedience, the merits and the life of thy dearly beloved Son. O Lord, hear us in our prayers. For Lord, if thou art pleased to reveal and show thyself to us, then all these other things, the lesser things, will be added unto us. Lord, hear us in our prayers and petitions. We wait upon thee, Lord. And do be pleased to appear. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that, Lord, if we have come this evening hour in any strength of our own, Lord, oh, that thou wilt strip each and every one of us from our own strength, Lord. And, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased through thy grace to make us poor, Lord. Grant a knowledge of our sins, Lord, that will humble, Lord, that will break up the hardness, Lord, the rebellings. Oh, be pleased to hear us, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray and ask that this evening hour may be a good time, and a time, Lord, when thou wilt be pleased to reveal and manifest thyself to sinners, we pray thee. And we thank thee, Lord, for the glory that is found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of our God in redemption's work, the glory and the blessedness of a sinner being pardoned and forgiven for all his sins and all the offences of his life. O Lord, be pleased to come then and draw near to every one of us. And we pray, Lord, that this evening hour thou wilt appear unto us. Do, Lord, be pleased to come, Lord, to the tried, the afflicted, the poor, the needy, and to those, Lord, in the path of sickness and trial and affliction. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. O Lord, we do pray, come to each poor needy soul, Lord. Through the gospel, preach the comfort and the peace and blessedness that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. Oh, be pleased to appear unto each one, Lord, times of trial and times of sickness. Oh, Lord, come and pray, Lord. Bid thy people to know the blessing and the truth, that thy people, thy sheep, thy poor ones, they're still in thy hands, Lord. None shall perish, no man shall be able to pluck them out of thy hands. Lord, what a mercy it is still to be upheld and kept, and upon those everlasting arms of mercy and love and grace. Oh, do come, Lord, and uphold thy people. Do come and preserve and keep them. Remove all their doubts and fears from their hearts, Lord. Preach, Lord, into their souls the fear nots of the gospel. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Lord, set the eye of their faith upon the blessing, Lord, of their future estate, their inheritance with thee. O Lord, thou didst come to the disciples with that wondrous truth. They were disconsolate, Lord. They were those, Lord, who were so saddened in heart and mind to know that thou wast to leave them for a little time and season. But there thou didst speak to them, ye believe in God, believe also in me. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a mercy, Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. O Lord, what wondrous grace, Lord, came forth from thy lips to those poor disciples, so despondent, so cast down. But thou didst set before them heaven and glory. O Lord, we do believe it is proper, Lord, in all the times of our needs and concerns and troubles and trials here below. What a mercy it is to be lifted up and out of them, Lord, and to know that thou hast reserved a place for us, and that place is ready and waiting. O Lord, to lift up the spirits of thy people, to show to them that it shall be well with them, Lord. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come to each one of them, Lord, and undertake the cause and the interest of thy poor people here below. O Lord, we cannot go along without thee, Lord. Those two disciples on the Emmaus road, Lord, could not go along without thee. Thou didst appear and draw alongside them. Thou didst show thyself to be the comforter, the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And thou didst speak comfort into their souls. Thou didst preach thyself, Lord, in all the scriptures and what the prophets spake of thee. And their heart began to warm within them. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come, appear, and warm the hearts of thy people this evening, our Lord. Oh, come to every one of us, Lord. Enlighten and enliven us, quicken us by thy Spirit, Lord, and bring us near unto thee, Lord. May we feel, Lord, that union and fellowship that does subsist between thyself and thy people, Lord. Oh, we want to feel Father, Son, and Spirit in all the glory of salvation for our souls, Lord. Oh, do come to us, Lord, we pray thee. May we see thee, O Lord, as that God in covenant with his people, and that God indeed who fulfilled all things for us in the person of his dearly beloved Son. Salvation and redemption through his blood, life spiritual, life everlasting. Oh, the glory of it, Lord. May they be those tokens, Lord, again this evening hour, fixed in our hearts, Lord, that it shall be well with us. Thou hast brought us thus far, Lord, through another day here below. Oh, how many of us can understand that we've been in thy hands, Lord? We've been under thy divine eye and watchfulness. We've been under thy care and keeping and preservation. Thou hast brought us through many dangers, both seen and unseen. Oh, Lord, thou art so near to thy people. Oh, the very hairs of our head are all numbered, Lord. Thou knowest so much about us, Lord, even everything. But, oh, Lord, more than ourselves, Lord. And, oh, the great mercy, Lord, thou art so near and acquainted to us. And, Lord, we do believe that that near acquaintance is through thy suffering death upon the cross at Calvary for us. Oh, there is no closer and more blessed union than Christ crucified for his people. Nothing more blessed, nothing more sacred. But, oh Lord, nothing indeed there that is so blessed to the soul, dear friends, that we could ever be parted from thee. No, our names inscribed upon thy breast, and thou knewest every one for whom thou would suffer, bleed, and die for. And Lord, we believe some of us have a hope of that, but we pray for everyone here and for everyone that worships here may have a hope of that, Lord, if it will be thy gracious will. So thou hast brought us thus far through this another day, kept us and preserved us, put a wall of fire round about us, brought us thus far, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, henceforth and for ever. Thou hast kept and preserved us from all evil, Lord, from all antichrist, from all the temptations of sin and Satan, Lord. Oh, thou hast done great things, Lord. There is no strength in ourselves, Lord, to deliver ourselves and to keep ourselves, Lord, from these great enemies. But, Lord, thou art that one able to do. And we thank thee, Lord, for the influence of thy love and thy grace and thy fear in our hearts, Lord. Oh, what a mercy it is to be possessed of these graces, Lord, that shall preserve us and hold us fast unto thee, Lord, and bring us through our course here below, Lord. We're not given to this world, Lord, and the vanities of this life, and all the ungodliness that is in the world, Lord, is our great mercy. O Lord, show to us again and again that thou hast set us apart and sanctified us through grace, that we should be a people unto thyself. And, oh, may we be brought to realise the blessing of that, Lord, being one in union with thee, Lord, in fellowship, communion. O Lord, we do pray that we may each know and experience thy constraining love upon us to hold us fast unto thee, Lord. And so help us to continue, Lord. Be with us each, Lord, in our homes, Lord. We wait upon thee for everything, Lord. We look to thee for everything. May our homes be a little Bethel to us, Lord. May we know what it is to have that sacred union, fellowship and worship in our homes, the reading of thy word, Lord, and prayer and supplication before a holy and a righteous God through the merits and the life and obedience of Jesus. Lord, we ask these precious mercies to be ours, Lord, to live a life of faith upon thee, Lord, a life of love, Lord, a life of grace, a life of godliness, a life of holiness. O Lord, we need all these things, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and bestow them upon us, Lord. And O Lord, be with thy church and people here, watch over each and every one that worship here, preserve each one of them, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, that thine approbation may rest upon the services of thy house here and all that is undertaken in thy name, Lord. Help them to worship by faith. Help them to put all their trust and confidence in thee and in thee alone, Lord. And help them, Lord, in everything that concerns thy worship, Lord, to seek thee, Lord, and to wait upon thee. But, Lord, may there be those signs working in the midst, Lord. Thy gracious hand put forth in power, Lord, to deliver and to save sinners. Oh, brands plucked from the fire, we pray thee, Lord. And we pray for it, Lord, for the little ones that gather here, the families, Lord, the children, Lord. Oh, be pleased to hear us in our prayers and petitions, Lord, as we bear them up before thee, Lord. Secretly keep them, Lord, and hold them fast to thee, Lord. Until that time, Lord, if it will be thy gracious will, that thou wilt meet with them and change them and renew them by thy grace, we pray thee. Hear us, Lord, in our prayers and petitions. And we wait upon thee now, Lord. We would, Lord, think of each unable to be with us at this time, but perhaps, Lord, there is a way and a means of the streaming whereby they may be able to worship. Be pleased to be with them where they are, Lord. Keep them and uphold them in thy fear, Lord, wheresoever they are. Now appear for us, Lord. Help us to worship thee, Lord. Help thy servant, Lord. Help thy people, Lord. Thy servant to speak in thy name and through thy spirit, and thy people to hear, Lord. Open their hearts and that they might hear and mixed with faith, and that sower and reaper may rejoice together, and thy name be made precious in the midst of us this evening hour, to thy honour and thy glory. Amen.
Hymn number 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. Hymn 132.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. We would seek to draw your attention to the portion that we read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. And the word laid upon my spirit is from verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The few chapters, and including this chapter 5 and those that lead up to it, those things that Paul is seeking to bring forth and out of the word is justification, being justified before a holy and a righteous God. That is to be accepted of him, blessed by him, under his favour and his blessings. It is to be known of him. Dear friends, it is an important truth. We have those things that are before us that say so much in respect of our very solemn state and condition by nature, and that we are those that truly only belong to us, that wrath of God, and also that condemnation. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Dear friends, there's something in this verse here that seems to be so important and so needful to us, and something that we would trust, that the Lord would be our teacher and show to us our great need as sinners, because that is something else that is brought here and shown to us in a very clear way. And the certainty of it is that it comes from the Word of God. It was written by the Holy Spirit, by holy men of old time. And so it has come from heaven, dear friends. And so it is an important truth. If we acknowledge, dear friends, the Word that the Lord has given to us, may we pray over the Spirit, that we may be those to become exercised in respect of God's word, and particularly in respect of those things that are spoken in this chapter regarding our very, very solemn state and condition by nature. We are informed clearly that we are indeed ungodly by nature. We are informed that we're sinners, and that we are informed in verse 10 that we're enemies to God. And dear friends, if we don't feel it, pray that the Spirit of the Lord will apply it, because it is truth. It's the manner and the way in which we're born into this world. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, and it's something that reigns supreme. Our very birth into this world. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And that means that when he was born a sinner. And it doesn't matter, dear friends. You see, they speak of an innocence when we're born, and in that sense of it, there may be. But the root of sin is in us by nature, even in our very birth into this world. The root of sin is there. And that sin, it says here, by one man's offence, death reigned by one. For if by one man's offence, death reigned by sin. This death, dear friends, is that sin that is found in us. In verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There isn't a more solemn word than this in Holy Scripture, dear friends. And it was by one man. It was a solemn fall that our first parents, Adam, he was one that fell. But this offence that he is spoken of is a transgression. It is that a commandment was broken. There was a breach. Then the Lord spake very clearly to our first parents, to Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, and he disobeyed, the tempter came. First the woman, and then Adam. And the very solemn place that he was found in, that he did sin, that he did transgress, he did break the law. Until this time, he was innocent. He was accepted of God, communion with God, loved God, dwelt in union and fellowship together, happiness, peace, joy. Then the subtle one came. And dear friends, he is that one that got into the heart, dear friends. It is shown here in this word to us, and that the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. There was a condition then in Adam that there could be a subjection upon his nature, that he could fall. It was by works, really, wasn't it? A covenant of works. And yes, the very solemn truth, he fell. It was from then that Adam sought to blame the woman. The woman that thou gavest me, he said, the woman that thou gavest me, she did it. But God said unto Adam, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Yes, the fault lay with him. No good Adam blaming his wife, the woman, because thou hast listened. So his wife listened, and also Adam listened. And then there was a word given to him here, and this is the first word following his fall, in respect that he would live to a number of days upon this earth, which we all have now, a number of days, and the Lord knows them. every one of us. Our very days here upon the earth are numbered. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And so our days are numbered upon the earth through this fall. But that is what brought us then into a corporeal death. But the solemn truth here is also a spiritual and an eternal death. There is nothing in us by nature that can ever please God. Nothing in our nature that can bring us into his favour, into any blessing, to fall under any mercy. Nothing in us by nature. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, and death hath reigned in us by nature. Oh, what a solemn fall it was then. It was a transgression, an offence. This offence, it is in every one of us. It is in our hearts. Deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, the scriptures inform us so. A heart that cannot please God. A heart that can never bring us to God. A heart that is fallen. It isn't that the transgression of Adam is in us. He transgressed. But it's the effects of it that is in us. The effect of it. It's in all Adam's posterity. Everyone born in this world are born in sin, shapen in iniquity, come forth from the womb, speaking lies. We stand then as enemies to God, as we have read together in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, and then also in respect of verse 8, that we were yet sinners, sinners. And then also in verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. We're ungodly. We're sinners. And dear friends, we're those that God cannot look upon us. There's another very solemn truth that I would just like to speak in respect of this. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, who is it, dear friends, that reigns in us by nature? Jesus said of the devil that he was a murderer from the beginning. How many have passed through this earthly scene, been born into this world, passed through this earthly scene, never known God in Christ, gone forth, dear friends, to that eternal death? How many, dear friends, God knows. And it is a solemn thought. It is he that reigns in us by nature. Dear friends, it's he that rules and reigns within you. We may not think of it. From a natural standpoint, we may not think that Satan reigns within us. But think of the work of Jesus. It was manifested to destroy his works. Where is Satan's works? It's in us. That is where he is enthroned. And Jesus said, Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Where is he cast out from, dear friends? The world? No, he's still in it. He's cast out from the heart of a sinner. That is where he's cast out. That is where he dwells in us by nature. So what a solemn place we're found in, being born into this world. And we continue in darkness and ignorance of this solemn truth. I continued for about 37 years in this darkness and ignorance. And yes, I came to chapel. I had no complaints about it. Sang my praises, yes, my prayers were formal. I'd learnt them from Scripture myself. Not by power and the Spirit. No. I was quite satisfied with life. And I think Satan was quite satisfied as well. I wasn't moving away from his reign and rule within us. He was quite content for me to come to chapel and to sit in the pews of God's house, in darkness and ignorance of my real state and condition by nature. Yes. I was in darkness and ignorance. I was one of those children of disobedience. Let us just see the truth of our state and condition by nature. It is solemn, dear friends, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That is where I stood. This is where we all are by nature, dear friends. I didn't think there was any wrong in me. Came to the Lord's house, listened to the sermons. I'm not saying that they took deep root into my heart. Sometimes I was affected by them. Sometimes I was unmoved about them. And that, dear friends, is according to my heart by nature. There was nothing in my heart, dear friends, for me truly to lay hold of the ministry and the preaching of the word. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, and that death reigned in us, we've read together that it's sin, isn't it? Sin that lies within us, sin that reigns within us. And there we are by nature. For if by one man's offence death reign by one. And it says in the margin, if you have a margin in your Bible, for if by one man's offence death reign by one, it says in the margin, or by one offence. And it was just by one offence and one transgression that he fell. Because of transgression is a breaking of a law. And we've read together that the Lord commanded Adam. You see, he was God's creature, dear friends. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, Who are these then? Much more they, which receive abundance of grace. It's election, isn't it? God always did have a people. He loved a people. His everlasting love was cast upon them. And our God is unchangeable. That love could never alter, never change. Do we understand something here, dear friends? I've spoken about 37 years of my life. Isn't it he that preserved? Isn't it he that secretly but powerfully watched over my path, even whilst I was one of these ungodly ones, one of these sinners, one of these that was an enemy to him by wicked works? These are they, much more they, preserved, watched over. Dear friends, this was a word that was a wonderment to my soul when I understood it. Whilst I was going on and on in my sin, he was watching, presiding, keeping, preserving my soul, so that I should never see this corporeal death come upon me, because it was God's intended purpose, the purpose of his grace, that he should give me a spiritual and an eternal life. Is there some hope here, dear friends, for a poor, needy sinner, a coming sinner? Those that have been shown their sin, the evil of their hearts, the wickedness of their nature, the uncleanness, the ungodliness. There must be a hope here. For the word says, much more they which receive abundance of grace, much more they. That much more they, dear friends, it really began when we were born into this world as sinners. For us, the grace of God was towards us. I know that in time past, but I'm speaking about our lives here, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and yet this grace. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace. This grace, dear friends, we may begin with our God. His free love, his sovereign choice of some from lost mankind. Here, in this word here, we have really the whole election of grace. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Elect. Much more they. And what a mercy. It's one of the greatest blessings when I consider my own state and condition by nature, that the Lord was presiding over me. Yes, he hated my sins, but dear friends, his grace He preserved, kept, watched over. And in his providence, dear friends, is that one that was making a way for me in this waste-howling wilderness, and I didn't know it. Because there were so many things in my life that I sought and determined for myself, and I never could have them. Even when I was dead in sin, I could never have them. All that I wanted. And I saw that it was because God, it was not of his divine permission and will that I should have so many things that I desired. Much more they, much more. Even then, dear friends, although we may not have known it, but much more. They which receive abundance of grace. Where is this abundance of grace, dear friends? Well, I just thought of the, I just wanted to show perhaps just two instances of it in the scriptures, because, you know, Jesus came and showed abundance of grace, didn't he? This abundance of grace, it's that grace that is superabounding. It is above all. Overcoming grace, superabounding grace. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. Jesus came to a madman. Legion called him. And we may have the truth that the scriptures inform us of, and the truth that I've spoken of. And the people came to Jesus to see this man, to see him that was possessed with the devil. Now the scriptures, dear friends, do not contradict. They do not contradict. That is how we were born into this world. And see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Dear friends, this is abounding grace, isn't it? Abundant grace. Come to that madman through Jesus. Do you know that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for that man? That madman, that legion. So many devils in him. A wicked life, an evil life. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, death reigned in that man, dear friends. But oh, much more the grace of Jesus, much more the salvation of Jesus, much more that man, a pardoned and forgiven sinner. This is grace, isn't it? Grace. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. That man received it, dear friends. Tell me, did he deserve it? Did he look for it? No. Jesus came. And that madman, dear friends, just want to say this, God's everlasting love was upon him. God loved that man. And dear friends, Jesus was not going to pass by him when he was here upon earth. He couldn't, because God the Father gave him into the hands of Jesus in covenant. And Jesus, isn't he that one, dear friend, that took upon the cause and the interest of every one whom his heavenly Father gave to him? Isn't it in covenant that he would become their God-man mediator, their surety? Yes. Jesus couldn't pass by him. And dear friends, Jesus won't pass by any coming sinner. No. No. I just thought of Saul of Tarsus himself. I know that he's Paul as we're speaking of him. But dear friends, look at the man. Look at the wickedness of his heart. Look at the evil. Look at the devil that was in him. Why? Seeking to destroy this very gospel. This very gospel that would save him. But he said, because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Yes, he was a blasphemer. And he was a persecutor and he was injurious. But this truth and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, that was the mercy that came to Saul of Tarsus, wasn't it? Free love, free grace, free mercy. This love was God's love in Christ, the suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Jesus was his Redeemer. Jesus was his Saviour. Jesus was his surety. Jesus was that one that redeemed him from all his sins, put them away forever. What, this wicked man going on the Damascus road, dear friends, ready to hail all the Lord's people to prison? Ready to destroy this gospel? This is the abounding of this grace, the abundance of it. Super abounding grace. Much more they which receive abundance of grace. This abundance of grace then, isn't it that, dear friends, that in God the Father's heavenly love to his people, his eternal love to them, and then this grace, his free love, isn't this grace in the person of Jesus? You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whilst he was rich and yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Abundance of grace. You know, our God is the God of all grace. And we see that grace in the person of his dearly beloved Son. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am, a saved sinner. Grace covered all our sins. This grace then, by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he that one, dear friends, that gave his life to be a ransom for many, or by one offering for sin? See the wondrous truth of this word. And it says, but now, and he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. What does it mean? It means, dear friends, those who would bring many sons unto glory. It's these here, spoken of here, much more they. And the Lord knows every one of them. Much more they. What is this much more? It's the grace that should abound and above all sin, all iniquity, all the offences of our past lives, all the wretchedness of an undone nature, all the wickedness, the vain thoughts, the imaginations. Dear friends, the root of sin and evil was in us by nature. And so this truth here, much more they which receive abundance, this much more covered all their offences, and this death that came upon all men, sin, death, corporal, spiritual and eternal. This grace that should abound abundantly and above all. Abundance of grace. See it, dear friends, in a suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Isn't that grace indeed? Isn't it here that he laid down his life for these ungodly ones, these sinners, these enemies? Isn't it here in verse 10 and 11, this wonderful truth that if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The death of his Son reconciled to God. What is the meaning in this, dear friends? Why, we were enemies and now reconciled to God. We're friends. Dear friends, this is the grace, isn't it? Friends. Like Abram was a friend of God. This is the truth of Christ's sufferings. Reconciled to God. Receive abundance of grace. It's in the whole of the gospel. It's in the whole of the sufferings of Christ. This grace. And this grace comes into the heart and lives of sinners. Where is it? And it's in the greatness of this abundance. It's where the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. What was the rejoicing? A pardoned and forgiven sinner. That is the abundance of this grace, dear friends. We can only speak a little of it, but it's in some of experience in our souls. A pardoned and a forgiven sinner. Why, it's the most glorious truth of the gospel. It's God's greatest glory. Redemption through blood. The forgiveness of sins through Christ. He became our Redeemer, Saviour and Friend. Here is this abundant grace. And of the gift of righteousness, Christ's perfect obedience and sacrifice, this gift of righteousness, a needful covering for our souls, a garment, dear friends, to cover our naked soul. And this righteousness is our acceptance to God. It's through the perfect atoning work and sacrifice of Jesus, his perfect obedience to the will of his heavenly Father, at the merits of his pure and holy life that he lived, and the merits of his sufferings and death. This wondrous robe of Christ's righteousness, it's God's robe for sinners, and by faith it is adorned and put on. When we have the forgiveness of sin, then this righteousness of God adorns our soul. Dear friends, this is the wonderful truth of Christ's righteousness, a covering for our souls. Dear friends, it's this covering that justifies us. And dear friends, it is that that the publican was pleading, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, dear friends, it was pleading and pleading. And you know, when a sick sinner is found at the feet of Jesus, at the throne of grace, pleading, dear friends, for pardon and forgiveness, the devil couldn't come in there, could he? No. Because his case was so urgent, so pressing, so needful. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That mercy is in the precious blood of Jesus. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. And he went to his house justified. Justified. Justified, no condemnation, no, a pardoned sinner, accepted before God. This is the truth here, and of the gift, dear friends, this gift, it is of God's gift, it's that righteousness imputed to a poor sinner. You know, that robe was waiting for the returning prodigal, wasn't it? Yes. His father knew that he would return, and the robe was waiting. This righteousness, then, let us rejoice in it. Oh, we should rejoice in this. I just think of a word in respect of that truth in Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Wonderful word. If I can just come to it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. He hath covered me. It's God's righteousness in Jesus. He hath covered me. And dear friends, it says, I will greatly rejoice. Dear friends, let us rejoice. This robe of Christ's righteousness can never be taken from us, can never condemn us. No. Stand whole, pure, complete, perfect, before a holy and a righteous God, with whom we had offended. And then this is the wonderful truth, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Shall reign in life. Dear friends, Christ reigns in the soul of a poor sinner. And we can see here the abundance of this grace. For in the beginning it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. But see this abundance of grace. Now, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Ah, by the one, dear friends, one offence thrust us all into sin and an enemy of God. But now shall reign in life by one. Oh, dear friends, this, what a gospel truth this is, dear friends. Doesn't he reign in life for us? Isn't he that one, dear friends, that comes into our hearts? Isn't he that one that keeps and preserves us through his word? Isn't he that one that will speak salvation into our souls time and again? Confirm us in our faith and love to him. Yes, faith and love and grace in the heart, the graces of the Spirit, a new life of grace, a new man, a new creature within. Oh, this is the abundant grace, dear friends, that Christ reigns within. And dear friends, this is our mercy today. He rules and reigns. And isn't it here? Isn't it this that brings us to his house of prayer? Isn't it this that brings us to the throne of grace? Why, we're kings and priests unto him. And we have power with him, dear friends. A poor sinner has power with God. Satan is cast out, is dethroned, so that Christ may reign within. This is the abundance of this grace. I just say this truth. Adam, when the tempter foiled him, his bright robes were quickly gone. But this righteousness of Jesus, once applied, tis always on. Tis their title to the mansion, love ordained. And then, if I can just find another hymn. These ones, dear friends, where Christ reigns within them, what is their title? Why, they're the poor ones. They're the needy ones. The weak ones. The insufficient ones. These are those that have been humbled under his mighty hand. These are those that have been brought to nothing in and of themselves. And they've been brought to know it and feel it. It's grace that humbled them. Grace that brought them to nothing. But oh, to see their everything in Jesus. You see, everything in Jesus. How can we be kept? How can we be protected now? Poor ones, worm Jacobs in the earth. But he upholds us with his arm and will not let us fall. When Satan roars and sin prevails, he hears our mournful call. He knows we have no strength at all. He knows our foes are strong. But though 10,000 foes engage, the weakest shan't go wrong. Dear friends, this is grace, isn't it? Who is it that keeps us? Who is it that preserves us? Dear friends, what a mercy it is we can come to the throne of grace. He that has been thrust out of us, dear friends, who will want us back, make no mistake about that. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. Oh, we've got power, dear friends, power at the throne of grace, a poor sinner crying to the Lord, begging for mercy, suing for favour and blessings. Restraining prayer we cease to fight. Prayer makes a Christian's armour bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Overcoming grace, friends. Christ reigning supreme in the soul of a poor sinner. Lord, keep us there. Keep us at the throne of grace. Keep us low, Lord. Be thou our all and everything, Lord. Help us to continue in faith and love. And Lord, give us an insight of that heaven and glory that thou hast prepared for us, because this is abundant grace. A little spot beside thee, Lord, that thou hast reserved. Bring me there, Lord. I cannot come myself. There's nothing in me to do it. But thou, Lord, canst do it. Shall reign in life by one, and its life spiritual and life eternal. Our time is gone. For if by one man's offence death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Timothy Parish on Tuesday evening next week. And there will be a collection after this service for the free Bibles we distribute. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Thank you.
Lord, be pleased to own and bless those things attended to this evening hour. And may all poor needy sinners here know what it is to be blessed by this abundant grace. Pardon and forgive everything that we may have thought or said or done amiss. Take each one of us to our homes in peace and safety, and be with us each and every untrodden step of the way. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.